living and surviving are two different things. Today's special guest is Nick Woods, creative director, fashion stylist, and designer. Please give a warm warrior welcome to Nick Woods.
Dear Life Warriors, it's me, Shar, your favorite corporate life coach, and I am with my special friend today. This is so exciting that I get to talk to her and share all about her journey with you. Nick Woods, yay!
Hi, guys.
She is a fashion stylist as well as fashion designer. She just created her new line, which I am wearing. Which is new by Nick. She's actually about to celebrate her 1 year anniversary. So this is perfect. We're talking to her right on time as that's about to go down. But just take a look at my top for a second. Yes. It was specially made for me, although there's more, but her pieces are one of a kind, so you cannot get this exact version, but do know that New by Nick is out there. Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. It's been so long, but I'm so excited.
It's been so long. I have not seen you in years. I feel like it's years.
Yes.
See you the whole COVID. Have I seen you during COVID?
Yeah, because we filmed your part for the commercial last year.
Oh, that was last year. Okay, so that's the last time I saw you then.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I know lots have been going on, but before we even get to what the fabulous Nick is doing now, you know, everybody always has a story. And the truth be told is you definitely have a story of traumatic experiences, transformational experiences. I have the pleasure of knowing you for a very long time now. We worked together at one point when we were both in corporate America, and now we're both running our own businesses, which is awesome.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about, before we get to Nick, who's a creative being, always been creative. Everything she touches, just like, woof, bedazzled. It looks extra fabulous. There's some tips on that. But your life journey is like one of those stories. When I finally learned all about your life journey, I was like, whoa, this girl has been through some stuff. Now, you lost both your parents at a very young age.
Yes, my mom at 12, 13, my dad at 22. Like the prime ages of life.
Right. And I mean, talk about that for a little bit. Do you recognize like how that loss played a role on who you are today as a person?
Oh, definitely. So you know how they say everybody has their traumas and their childhood traumas and things that they don't even identify and how they operate in life? Hands down, I know from the loss of my parents, I internally suffered with, what's that word I'm looking for? Abandonment issues.
Abandonment. Yeah.
And also I think my mom was that, as we all know, moms are nurturers and stuff like that. So she was that loving being that showered us with unconditional love, you know, and it was like when that was gone, you know, my dad growing up as a Caribbean, you know, with Caribbean background, they don't really dibble and dabble in that mushy stuff, you know, kind of
it's
that
love part. Love. It's very cold.
So cold, harsh at times it feels. But as I got older, I realized in talking to like my aunt that my dad didn't hear he loved him. I mean, you know, he was loved every day. So he wouldn't know how to do that when my mom did it. So it was like a traumatic experience. So I feel like as I got older, I was searching for that mother love, you know, whether it was in the partners that I chose, you know, not even the daddies, because my father was there. My father was in my life until he passed away, you know, but that emotional part that was missing from my mom, I didn't get from my dad, you know? So, as I got older, identified as abandonment issues and searching for that motherly love versus, you know, when people reverse have daddy issues and they looking for that father. Mine was a little different, but I guess it would be kind of considered the same thing, kind of.
Yeah, for sure. I could tell you this from knowing you. I absolutely see that. like just from being around you and anybody that, you know, show you a little bit of, you know, love or support.
I dive in.
Yeah.
Head first onto the concrete, onto the grass, the glass table, bust up my head, fall in, you know, like that type of dive in.
Right. Pretty much. And I recognize that it's, I'm glad you now could see that because, mm-hmm. and what used to scare me for you with that was because I didn't mind you diving in with me because I know I'm a good person,
yeah.
But people will take advantage of that.
They do. And not to say I didn't know that or not to say that I'm naive when it comes to people, personality, kind of, sort of, ish, you know, I always see the good in people, you know, and feel like, you know, well, maybe, you know, so yeah, working through that has been a struggle, I would say. I mean, I feel like I'm a little bit better now. I still know that I'm getting older now. So it's like, I don't want to be alone, you know, so, but
y'all.
Exactly, you know, so but identifying it and knowing and seeing the red flags and stuff, you know, with friends and relationships is like really important, you know, but they show up differently in different people, so it's just like life.
Discernment, you know, it takes work on yourself. So did you do any work on yourself at all to get to a place where you stepped out of that, you know, Nick feeling abandoned, Nick, you know, being mad at the world about.
Oh, yeah. I was angry.
Yeah.
So I would say yes. Maybe about how many years ago? I don't know. I want to say maybe 8 years ago or so, I did that program called Momentum Education. Which is something that dives into your personal being and how you show up in the world. So I did the first basic, which was basically that. And it showed how I show up with people. And it was such a great experience. It was such an eye opener. It was such like, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever. And then I was on this kumbaya kind of journey after that, mending fences and just trying to, you know, get rid of the dead weight that was pretty much hanging on me with friendships. Like my brother, I caught my brother and told him I was sorry for not liking him for all these years because I felt like his father was the one that my mom, like it's a whole domino effect, right? Did all of that. And then I did the second course, which was advanced, I believe. And going into that course, it was like drama, like internally, like financial drama and stuff like that. And I never finished the course. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the course at all. I mean, I did the course, but I didn't like it. I didn't get what I thought I was supposed to get. Yeah. And then on that, I was just kind of on like a happy-go-lucky kind of different person, you know. Because then I was, like I said, from basic on how I saw that I was showing up, I didn't want to be like that with my friends and people that I love. So I was like, okay, I needed to change. But I feel like the change, once I changed and became, I don't want to say became nicer, but once I changed and became a little bit.
Found yourself, self-aware.
I feel like I started to experience a lot of BS again, you know, like that I wasn't experiencing when I was freaking hardcore. So I was battling like, okay, I need to bring the bitch out again, because when I was in that place, I didn't go through these things, you know? So it was a battle.
Yeah.
Then fast forward to about 2 years ago, I started therapy. I've been in therapy for about over 2.5 years now. Mm. It's cool. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to get something out of therapy, but I'm like, I don't think I'm getting anything out of this therapy. So.
Okay, people. Clearly Nick is the one that's going to keep it real on this show. I apologize for everyone else who's in therapy.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. I think therapy is great.
I've heard say that, by the way, that they haven't. I've actually coached people that went from therapy to me because they were like, well, let me see if you work, because I spent a lot of years in therapy and nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, my therapist is an older Caucasian woman. So I think that like old, you know, she has a lot of years in, but I just feel like she's not like get into the core of like, she, I don't want to discredit her. She probably is, but it's just, it's not connecting for me, right? She's just like my old lady friend right now that I have. That's how I feel.
So at what point do you make a decision that you need a new therapist?
So as I was the past couple of weeks, because I do therapy every week, I got a letter in the mail from my insurance company that was like some new therapy thing. And I was like, oh, what's this? So I was able to look through their therapist. I found, you know, an African-American lady, I enrolled in whatever it's supposed to be, you know, and I thought that was like faith. Like I was in my head, like, I need a new therapist. I feel like I need someone that's going to relate to me, get to the core and, you know, or whatever. And that letter in the mail came. So I've been with her, maybe I only spoke to her probably twice.
Okay.
Twice so far, but I think it's like an 8-week test or something like that to see if it's going to things. So I didn't know therapy is like finding a boyfriend. You know, you got to find the right fit.
Everything is like finding a boyfriend. I'm starting to learn. It has to fit everything. Like seriously, I'm just like, why does everything have to be about the connection? You have to make sure that's there. But honestly, I mean, it is what it is. It's like, even church. I remember when I first moved back from Miami to New York, I remember saying, I'm literally shopping for a church right now. Like,
for a church. I was for a good fit.
Trying to find that connection. I'm like, this is not working out. You know, I'm good
at that.
I know how to break up very well with people. So.
That's one thing. No, that's not one thing. Underneath plenty of hats you have, that right there you have mastered. Nice and easy and calm, like the calmest breakup ever. I mean, you're like, who?
I can't see. No, but you have to. I think, you know, in life, you got to recognize when, if, you know, people are going to come in your life, some are for a season, like they say. And I never really understood that until I started to pay attention to my life and who I was and where I was trying to take my life. And
then
started to map out visions for myself and where I'm trying to go, I recognized that people came and went. And the people, some people that came with resources at the time that you needed them. I'm supposed to be serving them as well in some capacity. And I also recognize we're both traveling our own journey. So the minute that we reach this intersection where maybe you're supposed to be going right and I'm supposed to be going left, what happened there is it's okay. We might meet again later on down the journey, but there's some stuff you needed to go that way to learn, to acquire, to attain, to get to where you're actually trying to go. We both might not have the same vision for our lives.
Absolutely.
So, you know, breakups don't have to be hard or, you know, I hate you, or it's a matter of, I recognize that this relationship is no longer serving. We're no longer
each
other. So, hey, go on, you know, do your thing. I'm rooting for you. You go that way, I'm going to go this way. But let's recognize now it's time to break up before we actually do get in something where
you
definitely can't speak again.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's really just about that, you know, taking a break thing. Someone could go, you know, discover themselves.
Find themselves.
Sometimes feel like I'm holding people back. If I'm always there enabling. I'm the enabler. I too had to recognize in some of my relationships, well, you need to step back and see what this person could actually do for themselves.
Gotcha.
Let them go be strong. You know, you gave them some tools. You gave them some life coaching, some experiences. And I do that with my clients now. I am going to let your hand go. It's like, okay, go on. Let's live a little bit and see if you picked up anything that you've learned along our journey, because now you got to put those things into practice.
Absolutely.
So, no, but I mean, I think with you, I'm loving the fact that you're sticking to New by Nick.
Yes. Woo.
Woo. Many a tears. And guys, her pieces are absolutely amazing. I think I own almost everything except this new collection that you're dropping. I have not made my way yet to look at what I want, but you know, I'm gonna show some pieces and I'll drop the link in this interview below so you could go look at Nick and follow her on Instagram as well, New by Nick, because her stuff is amazing. The bag, oh my God, I should actually bought the bag down. My bag is a favorite. I use that all the time. It fits my, it's a jeans. It brought me back to back in the days, my guest days where they had
yes, the guest tote.
Love it. It was big. It's open. It's wide. I dropped my laptop in there and I feel sporty going to the store or wherever. Mm-hmm. I just still feel cute. But you're so creative and it's so unique. How did you even get to Dubai Nick? Like, you just came out of nowhere with that.
I'm going to be a- I did. I think I am, of course, and maybe it's not only me, my biggest critic. I'm so hard on myself. I'm such a scaredy cat when it comes to my own thing. So after like some styling stuff kind of ceased a little bit, I was like at a crossroad, like, okay, what the hell am I going to do? I need to do something, you know? And so many people was like, oh, you need to open up a boutique. And just, I'm like, first of all, y'all, I am not opening no boutique because it's 1,001 of them selling nothing but Fashion Nova, leg clothes, and I don't wear that stuff. I don't even know what Fashion Nova sells. So I'm like, if I do open something, it has to be true to me, you know? So one day I was in Century 21, RIP Century, we miss you. They're all gone, but I heard that they're supposed to be coming back. I think someone bought into them or it's supposed to be bringing them back. But
the one by World Trade Center is gone as well.
Every Century 21 is gone.
Oh, they used to like the board name brand with Century 21.
Hello, back in the 90s, that's where we got all our Moschino and Versace stuff from Century for the most part. But so I was in Century one day and I seen a flannel shirt and I was just like, And then I saw a t-shirt and I was like, And I just put them together on a rack because I like to layer stuff, right? So I am a tomboy at heart. Like, I love to dress like comfortable.
Me too.
And I said, I put it together and I loved it. And I went home and I just kind of perfected the design. And then I found me, you know, someone that can actually make my sample. So I did that. By the time I blinked, I had 1,000 samples of stuff because my wheels was just turning because, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. And during the pandemic last year, I was scheduled. I started the work on it January 2020. And I was like, okay, I'm going to launch in March. But then the pandemic hit. So then everything kind of sat, you know, still for a second. I wore some pieces out in Atlanta, and I was seen by Cynthia Bailey's sister, and she and a few people in the wine cellar, the Bailey wine cellar, loved the pieces. So I was like, okay, Nicole, because that was like my test. Like, let me see. I didn't even tell my friends and my family that was with me, my aunt and my friend. I didn't tell anybody about my piece. I just put it on and wore it out. Like I bought it from the store just to see what people's feedback was going to be. And the feedback was so great. My aunt and my friend was mad that I didn't tell them that was my piece I had on. But I was like, I just wanted to see what y'all was going to say. Like, if nobody would have said anything, I would have known I had to go back to the drawing board silently and work on it.
It's like Nick, because suppose we were like, girl, that's tacky.
Yeah, I wouldn't even known it was mine. I had to test the water and the temperature of the people first.
Right.
So once, you know, Cynthia Bailey's sister, Mal, she saw it and was like, oh my God, I love that. I want to buy like 10. And I was like, okay. When I get back to New York, I was going to work on it, but it was pandemic season, you know, so I couldn't do anything until about June after I finished working and finalizing my samples. Yeah. And I did that. And then it just grew and grew and grew. And now we're here a year later. And it was 1,001,000 trials and tribulations and tears and all of those things, but I am still excited and ecstatic about the journey I'm on with New by Nick.
Yes, I know. And you should be, because I think you just have it all together. I think the pack from the packaging, I just love receiving my packages. It's like soap, like Nick, perfect. And I see there was something I love that I saw you created this year, which was the dress that looks like the long dress,
the tunic,
like button down. But it had, I love that. Like, what? I was like, oh,
it's such a, that piece is, was such a big, big hit this summer. Cause I, you know, I like to make stuff for people that's multifunctional. So that's a dress that whether you're, you know, plus size, small size, pregnant, you know, and it's comfortable, you know, and something that was great for the summer season. So that was such a hit. Like, I think I probably, out of all the ones I made, I have one left that I'll be having at the anniversary. I did a pop-up in August and a lady, she bought the one of them and said, do you have this in long sleeve? Can you make it a long sleeve? Can you make this one in long sleeve? And I was like,
sure.
Okay. I gotta try, you know, so I did make one in long sleeve, but I didn't really finally like fully love the fit of it. So I wanted to go back to drawing board, but for next, next fall, I think I'll do the long sleeve version after I bring back up the short sleeve one, the sleeveless one in the summer.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna have to take, I did love that. That was like so, so cute.
It was fun. Thank
you. Oh man. So, okay. And now you're planning an anniversary. What's going on with it? What is this anniversary? Are you having like a real shame day, like a party?
What's happening? Sharice, you know, I am not one to like a party. I got to invite people. I got like, yes. So this is a real shindig all put together by myself. I was out in LA last week and I realized, oh shit, excuse my French. I didn't do anything for the event. Like I had my place, I had my blueprint, but in terms of getting everything together, I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's not a lot I got to do, but you know how them intricate details pile up. And this is my overwhelmed week right now. So this is why I'm sitting here on a camera with you. I have on no bottom, FYI. So if the phone dropped, just do a little blooper. My face is probably dry, like a mess, right? Mess.
Nick, we could have always rescheduled. You know that.
I thought about that, but I was like, nah, let me just go for it.
Yeah, bring the real, bring the real. We're about the realness of life.
Yes.
So you're really having a whole party.
A whole party. Yes, a whole party.
Oh my
gosh. For 50, for like 50, my cap is 50 people, but it's like, you know, people are going to come in and out. So, I mean, but in the space at once, 50 people. So I'm putting together, yes, it's from 2 to 7 on November 7th. The anniversary was actually October 7th. So I said, let me give myself a month later to prepare, you know, for it. But I am really excited. I can't wait. I have two vendors also that's going to showcase their stuff. Cause I didn't want it to just only be about me, you know? So I'm having a whole party. I can't believe this. I'm scared.
I mean, hey, you have to celebrate your wins. You won.
You're right.
You made a whole year.
A whole year.
As a
designer during a pandemic.
During a pandemic. So, I mean, my life warriors, the thing is that I didn't even really do Nick any justice with letting you know her background. Before being a fashion designer, she was an amazing stylist for many celebrities. But most importantly, though, she does a wonderful job with little people like me, where she made it affordable to look great. Like she showed me how to, you know, put together just little looks that didn't cost a fortune. And those little tips are like super, super helpful. Any tips this year for the winter? What can I do that's like quick, easy? You know me, I love comfy.
You love comfy. You love your Uggs.
Still love your Uggs. you know I'm dying. I'm waiting for the cold so I can.
You're like, where's the snow at? I need to pull them out.
I don't even need snow. I just need it to be a little chilly. And I am out there in the I am waiting patiently. Like, hurry up, weather. My feet miss you.
For the winter, I would want. I don't. Let me see. Let me see what would be good for you for the winter.
I'm still doing my sweats too.
Well, you doing sweats and Uggs, Reese?
Yep.
I have to make a trip to, I have to come see you.
This has been amazing. Any last words for my life warriors? I'm going to tell them where to find you, newbynick.com, and I'll share all your stuff, but anything you want us to know, what do you want to leave us with?
so many gems. If you are thinking about being an entrepreneur, already an entrepreneur, and you're following something that you're super passionate about, and it gets rough, just keep going. Because a lot of people don't make it because it gets rough. And by far, it gets rough.
Yeah.
Just dive in, you know, dive in, think about the purpose of why you are in it or why you want to become an entrepreneur, and make your purpose be driven by, you know, who you are.
Yeah.
And I want to say, like, if it's something that doesn't feel good to your soul, don't do it. Because plenty of people are unhappy working in corporate America and they hate it. Or people, hello, you know.
I inspired Nick once.
She boxed. She brought me out of the office with my box of stuff. She fired me.
People about the box, I can't. But I did, guys.
She did, but she was. I was the only person that she fired. That she literally like walked me to like the thing. It was like, I'm so sorry, because she felt what was going on. Like, it really wasn't my fault per se, fully 100%. Okay, a little bit my fault, but it, yes.
No, but I think God led me to walk you out for a reason. You know, yeah. That's what I'm saying. When you're supposed to be connected to someone, you can't do nothing about it. Like, yeah. There's nothing about it. Like, look, I fired her once in our lives, and look at us. We're doing okay.
We met up again at another job. Like, you know, like, and it was like great from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So life is definitely interesting. You're right when you say that do something that's true to yourself, true to your heart, true to your passion. Because I realized I spent a lot of years in HR doing human resources. And only for me, fast forward now to going right back to what I was truly passionate about. Me sitting here talking to you guys, introducing mm-hmm. you to all these wonderful people that's doing great things. I love to get to the root of people's journey and help them through whatever it is that they're going through in terms of to get to that other side that Nick is talking about. It's going to seem hard. Super. Everything you're going to tackle is going to be difficult. That's what life is. It's meant to block you, stop you, mm-hmm. delay you. Don't allow life to do that.
Nope.
Because right over that little hump, right before you get there, is breakthrough.
And like what Will Smith said, on the opposite side of fear is success.
Yes.
But it's so hard to get over the fear part. You know, that part is crippling. It's still crippling for me. But I've been noticing that I've been diving into fear a little bit and just hoping that I come out on the other end still whole.
Yeah.
And one thing that you just said, like, you're passionate about talking to people, and you guys don't understand how much, you know, Char, as you guys know her, but I know her as Reese, has helped me through so many things, you know, and like, she's made me get closer to God at one, you know, not to say at one point, but I've always been, but closer to God. Like, she's always had such a positive impact on my life. You know, that person that, you know, you can speak to and she's going to make sense of it all. And one thing, when I used to always call her hysterically, either crying or frantic or whatever, is it's going to work itself out. To this day, I still hear her voice saying it's going to work itself out. Now I'm telling people it's going to work itself out. Everything happens for a reason. It's happening for a reason.
Find your reason.
You were late because it was a car accident up there. Right. You were late because you like, and I didn't understand that then. I used to just be like, why is she saying that? Like, it's not gonna work yourself out. It's a mess right now, you know. And it's it happens the way it's supposed to happen, you know. So that's one thing that I to this day utilize from, you know, what you've instilled, the many, many lessons that you instilled with me that I keep with me and preach to other people. Like, yeah. It's gonna work itself out. You missed that flight because you weren't supposed to be on it.
Honestly.
So I'm just so
once you thankful. Take that, you know, perspective for everything. Doesn't life just seem so much easier to live?
No. It don't seem easier. It just seem understandable. Not easy. I mean, I wish that I at time think like, damn, if my mom was still here, you know, how would I be? Because she was that person that was instilling that raw life lessons and shit, you know, excuse my French again. And I'm like, would I have had the tools if she was still here? Or would I have known about what was coming ahead? Because growing up in a Caribbean background or household, they don't tell you about nothing. They hardly talk to you about anything. You know, you learn about these things on your own. You know, you got to figure it out. You know, they don't tell you how, like, life is going to be hard, which I feel is so weird because when growing up, I looked at the adults like it was easy. Like, oh, I can't wait to be grown and have my own place. And
that's a lie.
They didn't tell us that part. Like,
I'm still trying to figure out how to get back in my mama's house. I'm like,
hello.
Over it.
Hello. They didn't talk to you about mortgage and credit and all these credit. Hello.
Messed mine up a few times. Just saying. We did not get that education at all.
At all. You know? So I'm just like, life is a journey, as I like to say. An everlasting life learned. Like, you learn every, you're learning something all the time. I don't think you ever stop learning.
You never stop learning. Ever.
Ever. Like, my uncle in California is 90 something years old. He's still not learning how to listen. Like, never stop learning. But yeah.
Yeah, at that age, they pretty much not going to listen at that age. It's a wrap. It is what it is.
He stresses me out. But yeah. So I would say life is life. It's hard. It's harsh. It's loving. It's exciting. It's ups and downs continuously. That's just how I look at it.
And life is exactly what you make it.
That part. You are your destiny.
Yes.
You determine it.
Yep. But you are doing it very well. And it's harsh. So what? Embrace the harshness of it because it's strengthening you for something to come.
Yes, for sure.
So thank you, my life warriors. This was another great episode, this time with my girl Nick. And I hope you learned something today. I hope you could take away all these nuggets that she shared about her journey with you to travel your journey. And yes, life is definitely hard, but you are creating that reality for yourself.
So yourself.
Think differently and you'll get different results.
Absolutely.
Do know there is a coach out here that loves you.
Yes, and I love you.